Hi, this is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. The New York Solar Community is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the promotion and advocacy of renewable and sustainable living through education and positive action. New York Solar Community will help you take advantage of LIPA's Solar Pioneer Program by providing free labor for solar installations. Then you help others in the American tradition of barn raising. The New York Solar Fest is a yearly event featuring a solar stage with fantastic performances, children's theater, and a myriad of educational events. Be a part of sustainable solutions. New York Solar Community wants you. www.nysolarfest.org. That's www.nysolarfest.org.
All right. It's 6 o'clock straight up. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. And once again, my apologies for taking so long to actually start speaking, but the way we have things set up here is kind of crazy because Democracy Now! Comes to you on a computer, and I have to queue things up on the same computer, but you can't queue things up while Democracy Now! Is playing, otherwise you'll hear me doing that, and it's just requires me to spend a few minutes finding things and having them load because we have a really slow internet connection here, too, for some reason. I'm not sure why that is. Universities usually have fast internet connections, but Stony Brook always is the exception. And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday. You know, I don't need to complain about things here, but my God, does it really have to be 95 degrees inside the studio? I mean, this happens every year. This has happened every year ever since I've been here. Sometimes in the summer, sometimes in the winter, sometimes both. But basically, temperature, the heat gets poured into the studios, and there's not a thing we can do about it, apparently. Oh, well. So, yeah, if I sound a little annoyed, it's because it's really hot, and somehow it's muggy, too. I don't know how they pulled that off. Hot and muggy inside the studio, nice and cold and crisp outside. If I could be outside in the parking lot right now doing a radio show in the cold, I would be doing that instead, because I just prefer the cold to the extreme hot like this is. But enough about that. We're going to be taking phone calls. Hopefully we'll take a few tonight, because I like to hear people's opinions on various things in the news, various things in their lives, and various other things. Our phone number for future reference is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. And, yeah, this has been an interesting week for many reasons. First of all, if you're listening to the program now and you find yourself anywhere in the New York area, stop listening and head right on over to the Board of Elections public demonstration. Not public demonstration. You could make a public demonstration, I suppose. But a public hearing taking place. It actually started at 4 o'clock. But who knows how long it's going to go on for. It's 6:08 now, but it could go on for a long time. It's taking place at 42 Broadway, 6th floor in Manhattan. And it's hearing all about electronic voting machines and your opportunity to ask questions and make a statement. Because these machines are coming. They're coming to New York. They've come to a lot of other parts of the country, of the world. And we've heard all sorts of feedback. Not always good. In fact, most of it's bad. As to how these things will be affecting our lives, have already affected our lives. You know, it's possible that we have leaders now that should not be in office because of these things. Pretty scary, huh? But that's the reality of the situation. So if you are in New York, anywhere in the New York area, race on down there, 42 Broadway, 6th floor. Just barge on in and tell people what you think about electronic voting, assuming you do have something to say. No point just going in there and spouting out nonsense. They're doing that already. I went to a demonstration of electronic voting machines last Friday, and I'll be talking about that in tomorrow night's show on Off the Hook. But it's revealing. Let me just say that. It's very interesting. It's something that everybody should try and do, because these things are being shown, rather grudgingly, but they are being shown to the public. And if you keep your wits about you, you can get your hands on one of them and just see what it is that they have to offer or not have to offer. So, yeah. Always fun. Always fun. You know what else is always fun? Going to the doctor in the middle of a week. Yeah, I had to do that today. I had to go to the dermatologist. Skin doctor, for those of you who don't keep up on these things. But it's just basically, you know, when you get to a certain age, you're supposed to go every couple of years just to get everything checked out, you know, certain spots and marks and things like that. You just want to make sure everything is cool, because skin is very weird, and nature apparently has a very bizarre sense of humor as far as things like that go. It turns out that according to all dermatologists I've ever spoken to, not too many of them, but you know, a few at parties and things like that, they always say the same thing. If you got sunburned when you were a kid, when you were 5 years old, you could wind up getting skin cancer well on into life as a result of that incident. Yeah. Not anything you're doing now. Everything you're doing now is irrelevant. What you did back then, that could come back to haunt you. And it wasn't your fault. Back when I was growing up, everybody thought getting a suntan was healthy. Yeah, the healthy tan. Boy, do we feel stupid now. Everybody would go out and all summer long, they'd be sitting on a beach someplace trying to change the color of their skin for whatever reason. Apparently nature doesn't take kindly to people who do that kind of thing. But it still goes on, though. It still goes on. I cannot understand it. What's going through people's heads? There are tanning salons. It's not enough that the sun can kill you. Now we need to do it ourselves. We need to invent machines that can emulate the sun and give you the exact same skin cancer. So it's a marvel to technology. So, yeah, you know, we're still doing it. Not quite as much. People seem to realize that it's bad. But apparently they feel that changing their skin tone by a few degrees will actually make them at least more socially acceptable. Just like there are those people out there who think that puffing on cigarettes somehow makes them look cool, despite all the overwhelming evidence that it makes you look really awful when you're in the hospital and feel not too good either. So, yeah, you know, if you're getting your suntan, I don't think very many people are getting suntans right now, although there are probably people listening to me in a sunning, a tanning salon someplace. Just think about what it's going to feel like in years ahead when you look like a leather purse or something, because that's what happens. Anyway, so I don't face any of those dangers because even as a kid, I stayed indoors a lot. Didn't really get along with the sun all that well. But still, you know, you're obligated. You're obligated to get things checked out every couple of years. It's a smart thing to do, and I urge everybody to do these things. Now, you have to go through hell to do it. You have to sit in the waiting room. When I arrived, oh my God, what a pain in the ass this was. I figured, you know, I'd arrive right at the time when my appointment was. That's normal, right? Because usually you have to wait anyway. But there's no parking. One of these little medical parks, no parking anyplace. They have little sections, building A, building B, building C, building Z. And you have to park your car all the way as far away as possible because nobody has any spaces anywhere near the building you're going to. And then they get mad at you for parking in front of the building you're not going to. Sir, you have an appointment here? Well, this is for patients of our building. Yeah, but all the spaces are taken in all the buildings except for this one. I guess I should have walked over. Anyway, finally running to an appointment I was late for, they plant these 8-foot-tall hedges that you can't cut through to get from one building to another. You have to walk straight down the road where all the SUVs and the vehicles are racing back and forth in the same pandemonium that I had just gone through. Finally arrive at the place, and there's 6 people ahead of me. 6 people! I mean, how could 6 people be ahead of you when you're late? So you get to sit in the waiting room for a good 45 minutes listening to Christmas music. Oh, joy. This is what I want to hear now. It's not even Thanksgiving, and I'm being bombarded with all these corny songs, which, you know, when I was a kid, when I was that same 5-year-old kid not getting a tan, somehow those songs meant more to me then. They seemed to evoke excitement, I guess, because Christmas was coming, and that meant a whole lot of goods were coming as well. But after you hear those songs all your life, every few months it seems, you really start to go mad. And when you're sitting in the waiting room with nothing to do except, you're not allowed to bring a cell phone in. No, you can't bring the cell phone in there, which I understand. I don't want to hear some idiot gabbing on the cell phone the whole time I'm waiting. But listening to the radio station, which now plays nothing but Christmas music and stupid commercials, or having to read Vogue magazine, or some other crap that they have lying out there for the masses to feed on. This is where you learn to meditate. This is where you learn to stare at a wall and just concentrate on something else. And I guess that's what I did today, kind of just meditated until my appointment finally came up. This was the quickest appointment of my life. The guy takes one look at me and says, "Hey, there's nothing wrong with you. Get out of here." Get out of here from a doctor? don't believe it. And as if I had done something wrong by doing what I'm supposed to do, coming every few years to get checked. Ah, there's nothing wrong with you. Get out of here before I find something. Oh, that's nice. Before I find something. Yeah. So maybe there is something. Maybe there is something there. Yeah. Maybe I should have stayed longer. Maybe I should still be there now, going over every single inch. I find this to be the case more and more when I see doctors and dentists and all these people. They just want to get it over with. I want to get it over with, too, believe me. But let's at least go through the motions. All right, so that's how my day started anyway, and here I am. You know what? I'm probably getting a suntan in this place because the spotlights are on me here. It's 95 degrees. I feel like going for a swim now. But okay, we'll get through this together, even though I'm really the only one suffering. It's been a week of weird, scary, crazy news. Okay, let's focus on a couple of things. Rampages. Rampages seem to be the order of the day. People going berserk and crazy. If you don't know what I mean, this is what I was trying to get on the old computer here. And look at that, it's gone. It's in another window. Oh, God, I hate Macs. Let's see, where did it go now? It's over there? Yeah, but that's not the one I already queued up. No, I'm not going to do that, because if I do that, I get the part I don't want. Oh, this is what it did. It opened up over here. No, that's not it either. Okay, well, we've all heard of what happened the other day with Michael Richards going berserk, apparently, at some kind of comedy club out in California. And, wow. here it is. Here it is. It was on the hidden window. Here, listen just a little bit of it, if it's not too crazy. And I don't think it is.
Shut up! 50 years ago, you had your own tied down with a fucking fork up your ass!
This is a former Kramer speaking to a mostly African-American audience.
He's a nigger! He's a nigger! He's a nigger!
Oh, my God.
A nigger! Look, there's a nigger!
Ooh. Ooh. All right, you see? It shocks you.
Oh, yeah, it shocked us, all right. It shocked a lot of people. This guy... This guy in front of everybody completely lost it. I don't know if you saw him last night on Letterman apologizing for this, looking completely shell-shocked. Apparently what happened was he was being heckled by some people while he was on stage, and he just it got to his head, and he just unleashed this racist tirade of all sorts of horrible words and things like that. Really offended a lot of people and probably brought his career to a screeching halt, and almost brought Jerry Seinfeld's career to a screeching halt as well, which is probably why he insisted that he come on to the show last night, where Seinfeld was already scheduled to be a guest, and try and apologize. But I'd like to know what people think the right reaction to this is, because wow, it's Mel Gibson went through something similar. It was not caught on tape when he was cursing out a cop and blaming Jews for everything. I would have liked to have seen how that went down. But in this particular case, it just seemed a whole lot more offensive because it was so much more direct and obviously offensive. Now, I happen to think, after watching this, after listening to the apology, after reading a whole lot of things about this, that the best thing we can do at this stage is try and figure out how exactly this happened and ask ourselves, are any of us so different? Are any of us so completely different that given the right situation, given the right circumstances, we ourselves may not unleash forth with a whole bunch of racial invectives and who knows what else? I maintain that it's quite likely and quite possible that we all have something like this inside of us. And that given the proper proper environment, the proper stimuli, we can certainly put on a show very similar to old Kramer here. I think that's something a lot of people are missing in looking at this story. We're pointing at a guy who's obviously saying racist things and condemning him, which he should be condemned, obviously, but I don't think we're looking any deeper than that. This is not something that is an isolated instance. Everybody has badness in them. Everybody has evil. Everybody is capable of killing somebody else in a certain situation. I know a lot of people say, oh, I could never do that. I'm a nonviolent person. Well, it's nice to be able to assume that, but you never really know until you're through every possible situation that you could go through. And believe me, there are a lot of situations that will turn normally peaceful people into raging lunatics. I've seen it myself. I've seen so many people completely go crazy and lose it. And this is one of the reasons why I always speak out against everybody walking around with guns. Because, well, okay, you know, this guy, Michael Richards, seemed like a nice, normal guy. And the NRA would say, yeah, why not? Why not give him a gun? He could walk around the streets of L.A. or wherever he was holding a pistol or something. It's his Second Amendment right. Okay, but now, looking at the video, would you say the same thing? Would you say the same thing while he was in the middle of that tirade? Probably not. And then start to think about all the people that you've met in your life that you've seen lose it at some point. I've seen many people lose it and say things they didn't mean. Say all kinds of hateful, racist, sexist, obnoxious things. And with some people, it's like a game. You know, it's like a game of trying to get them to blow up. I remember there was this kid in school. I was one of the kids, actually. I think I was one of maybe three kids that got picked on in junior high. Like, we were in the top three. A lot of people got picked on, but I was, like, in the, you know, the upper division, so to say. But I wasn't the top. I wasn't the champion. And I never could be the champion because the people above me were just, they had worked on it so hard, you know. They had worked on it. So one kid apparently, like, never bathed or anything. And, you know, it wasn't his fault. His parents probably didn't believe in it or something like that. But he just got picked on mostly for that. I got picked on for weird reasons. Because my lawn wasn't cut. And because my family was different than most families. And because we didn't have a car. And mostly economical reasons. So I was that kind of a victim. But then there was another. The kid at the very top, his name was Chester. And that was enough. Right there, that was enough. Only one in the whole district in history. But it wasn't just that. When you picked on Chester, he kind of went crazy. And people loved that. People loved to make him go ballistic. And I remember one time, they made him go ballistic, and actually somebody, another kid was trying to help him, and he wound up beating the crap out of that kid because he just was so ballistic. Yeah. The number one picked on kid in school wound up beating the crap out of somebody who then jumped over me and became number three, based on that alone. It's very complex how junior high works. So, yeah, everybody, I tried not to. I don't think I ever tried to antagonize people. I hated them all, so I just tried to stick to my own world and stay out of the sun. But it wasn't just students. It was teachers, too. We could get teachers to go crazy. There was one math teacher. I'm not going to name names because they're probably still alive and they're probably listening. But one math teacher that if you're really pissed off enough, he would come charging at you. And when he would come charging at you, he would have this bizarre penguin-ish walk. He'd kind of like bob up and down. I can still see it to this day because he was kind of fat. And to see this guy come bobbing at you like that, I'm sure many people had therapy afterwards with that in mind, but for me, it was a laugh riot because, wow, the guy totally lost it. Other teachers just yelling at the top of their lungs, throwing kids up against walls, doing all sorts of things they really weren't supposed to do, but because people had pushed their buttons knowing exactly what they were doing. So, while this is certainly a shocking and unfortunate event, does it mean the guy is beyond any kind of redemption? No, certainly not. Certainly not. The guy obviously feels terrible about it. Now we should try and see that he gets better because obviously he's afflicted with something. Obviously there's something inside him that needs to be addressed. But to just give up on somebody, walk away from them and say, that's it, you're done, I don't think that's right. I really don't think that's right. We have to learn forgiveness in many ways. And remember, words are words. They're very different from actions. Very different from actions. Now, I know we all have words inside of us. I know we all have actions as well. Some actions are more forgivable than other actions. But we're all capable of really some nasty things. Now, here's another example of something that kind of got out of control this week. See if we can bring this up. Audio's a bit low, but this is the scene just outside the library at UCLA a few days ago when campus cops came to ask this guy for his ID, and for whatever reason he didn't have it. They then forced him to leave. But the way they did this was truly shocking. They used a taser on him and continuously shocked him. You can hear them here saying "stand up" over and over again. Now, the guy wouldn't stand up for whatever reason. Maybe he was a jerk. Maybe he was in shock. Maybe he was physically unable to. But they kept after him over and over again. Now, I've been in many situations with cops where they force people to stand up. That's part of their job. You know, people go limp. They have demonstrations. They don't just get shouted at over and over again. If you need to move people, they pick them up and they move them. In this particular case, and the video is everywhere, just go on YouTube and type Taser UCLA, you'll see it. In this particular case, they apparently thought just shouting at the guy was enough to get him to move. And abusing him like this somehow would get their desired result. As the situation escalated, even more people got involved and started shouting at the cops to stop it. They were threatened with tasing as well. Now, this is clearly, to me, an example of cops going crazy and losing whatever rationality they have. This is far less forgivable in my eyes. And this is something that, and one of the reasons why it's far less forgivable is because they don't admit any guilt. You know, cops as a rule don't admit, yeah, I shot somebody 42 times, but, I had to. I had no choice. And that kind of thing, to me, is just so self-righteous and in, not in any way in consideration of the people that you have hurt, that I find it very hard to forgive. Something has to happen before you can forgive. And that has not happened yet in this case. I got to say, that watching, and this is reason two, this is real good reason why people should always be just capturing what's around them. Now, I know we live in our Orwellian society where everything already is captured all around us. We're always on film. We're always being recorded and monitored. But it's a two-way street, you know. You can watch the watchers. You can watch the authorities. You can document every instance of something like this that happens. And that's what people are doing. They're out there with their cell phone cameras. They're out there with their MP3 recorders. They're out there with their little small video cameras. So if Michael Richards goes crazy, if the cops go crazy, you can bet somebody has recorded it. And it's going to be on the internet before you know it. And in a lot of cases, that's not a bad thing. Certainly in this case, it was a good thing. So the reason why it was hard for me to cue this up, because there are multiple camera angles. Apparently, more than one person was recording this on their cell phones. So the one that I had familiarized myself with was not the same one that I just heard now. And the angles were completely different. It was more of a, more of a Kubrick type of a look to it than the other guy, which has more of an Oliver Stone. Well, it doesn't matter, really. Just everybody has a different vision. And one person recorded it one way, one person recorded it another way. They captured the essence of the situation, which was something really bad going on. It's always important. I was in Harlem the other day, and a cop was harassing some guy who passed him by and apparently didn't like the way he said something to him or looked at him or something like that. Plus, the cop was white and the guy was black, you know, that usual thing going on. And whenever something happens, whenever a cop is doing anything to somebody, I feel it's your obligation to watch and make sure that it doesn't turn into something really bad. I think when the cops realize they're being watched, they behave better. Because believe me, it's a big temptation when you have all this weaponry and you have all this backup and all this power. It's a big temptation to crush those who don't respect that or aren't on the same level as you. Now, many cases, the people that find themselves caught up in these things, doing these horrible things, they're decent people. But they're in a situation where they're given tools, they're given authority, they're given things that just turns them into something else. And they need to realize that. They need to realize that before we can do anything insofar as forgiving them and moving on. So, yeah, you know, I'd like to know if other people have seen similar things out there, if my way of dealing with it makes any sense. And at this stage, let me just say again, the phone number is 631-632-9872. We're going to get to the phones in just a moment, just a couple of moments. But first, I believe we have a sustaining feature, which has not been with us in a while. Well, okay, well, maybe we should cue it up properly next time. I'm sorry. It's the heat. The heat is what's causing all these problems. Okay, so as I was saying, we have a sustaining feature that has not been with us for a while. Ah. I didn't realize every word of the show was scripted, but it is. Okay, it's time once again, except for that, for, oh yes, SUVs in the News, where we basically step out less than an hour before the show and look on the internet for stories about SUVs in the last couple of days, and we share them with you. And why do we do this? As education, I suppose, as a way of showing people just what's lurking on the highways. And how any day you could be caught up in it. Okay, let's go out to Seattle. Police detectives are looking for a driver who ran over a 92-year-old woman on First Hill. Okay, this is what I don't get. I don't look at the stories for... I mean, I glance at them, but I don't totally read them because that takes away from the spontaneity. But the story says they're looking for a driver who ran her over 2 weeks ago. Now, technically, that means the story doesn't qualify for SUVs in the News, but the story came out today. Why are they taking 2 weeks to look for the driver of this SUV? Anyway, she was struck by a white SUV about 11:30 a.m. on November 7th at Boren Avenue and Marion Street and suffered serious injuries. The driver did not stop. But the license plate is 733VNF and belongs to a white 2002 GMC Yukon. Well then, that shouldn't be too hard. Except for the fact that you gave him 2 weeks to get away. Okay. Let's go someplace else. A coal train crashed into a sport utility vehicle crossing the tracks yesterday, killing three people and injuring a fourth. The crash occurred around 7:45 a.m. at the main railroad crossing in Marissa, about 40 miles southeast of St. Louis. According to the conductor, the driver made no attempt to stop and drove into the path of the train. Well, that's your SUV drivers for you. I'm big. Nobody's going to get in my way. Of course, trains are bigger. A 55-year-old U.S. Airways pilot was killed Sunday when a sport utility vehicle hit his motorcycle, according to the South Carolina Highway Patrol. And let's see what else. An Edwardsville man who... I didn't really write this. I'm going to read it the way it's written, all right? An Edwardsville man who was claims he was almost... I mean, this is the first paragraph of a major news story. Who was claims? All right. Apparently was claimed... I'm doing it now. Apparently he claimed that he was almost run over by an SUV. And he filed suit against Robert Ellman in Madison County Circuit Court. Steve Flowers claims that on April 3rd, again, this is going back, but I guess the story is happening now. April 3rd, Ellman drove to Edwardsville to discuss the return of a vehicle that Ellman owned and Flowers possessed. Ellman is the president of Golden Oak Lending. Apparently it's not so golden. According to the complaint, Ellman became upset because the two disagreed about the return of the vehicle. Flowers claims as he began to walk back into his home, Ellman drove a large 2006 Chevrolet Tahoe SUV onto his front yard and attempted to run him over. Defendant's vehicle narrowly missed running over plaintiff. I'm sorry, I just like the way that sounds. Defendant's vehicle narrowly missed running over plaintiff. All four tires of said vehicle went through plaintiff's yard. Ellman's actions were deliberate with intent to harm plaintiff. What's wrong with these people? Why do they talk like that? All right, moving on. From Beaver Dam. Where was that, by the way, that last story? That was, where's Edwardsville? I don't even know. I think it's Wisconsin. This comes from the Madison St. Clair Records. I think that's in, Wisconsin, but it could be somewhere else. It could be any town, USA. A 31-year-old Beaver Dam woman escaped serious injury yesterday after her vehicle vaulted over the side of a bridge and plunged into the Beaver Dam River. The driver had to be removed from her vehicle through the roof before being transported to Beaver Dam Community Hospital. Everything in that area is named Beaver Dam, isn't it? The woman remains hospitalized. At this time, we believe speed or medical condition could have been factors. Drugs or alcohol appear not to be a factor in this case, only an SUV. Let's go out to Colorado. Another metro area community was in mourning Monday after a teenager was struck and killed by a sport utility vehicle while walking home. The Westminster High School student was the seventh area pedestrian killed after being hit by a vehicle this month. Not sure how many of them are SUVs. A Chevrolet Blazer struck her as she was crossing a road called Federal on a green light. Federal Heights police said the driver was stopped behind another car on 96th Avenue, which might have obstructed his view of the girls as he turned left to go south on Federal. He told police that the sun was in his eyes. Investigators do not consider speed, alcohol, or careless driving to be a factor in the accident. And you know, you could do something dumb like that when you're driving a regular car, too. There's no question about that. But maybe it's me, but I just think this kind of thing happens a lot more often than SUVs. I just seem to notice them doing dumb things all the more. Being impatient, driving on the wrong side of the road, driving on people's grass, things like that, trying to kill people. Authorities are investigating the death of a Phoenix City man found Monday in his vehicle in a ravine off Highway 165 in Fort Mitchell, Alabama. A passing truck driver observed an overturned SUV off the side of the road near the Fort Mitchell Fire Department around 11:30 a.m. and called police. It's unclear why the SUV fell into the approximately 25-foot deep ravine. And in a town called Springville, Robert D. Sanders of Salisbury was injured after losing control of his sport utility vehicle on black ice Monday. Sanders complained of abdominal or pelvic pain at the scene of the crash. Did he really say, I have abdominal or pelvic pain, or did he say, it just hurts over here? Anyway, he was eastbound on, what is this, Indiana? Indiana Route 54 West. near Popcorn Church Road? One of the reasons why I love reading these stories is just hearing about Americana. Popcorn Church Road. Oh, I've got to go there. Because there's got to be a popcorn church on Popcorn Church Road, right? And they must have all kinds of fun there. Anyway, Sanders told police his SUV struck a patch of black ice and he lost control of the vehicle. The SUV left the south side of the road and struck a tree before rolling onto its side and continuing to roll over the place. Which is the other thing about SUVs, people seem to lose control of them all the time. Because they're too big. And they're not trained in how to drive big vehicles. Okay, this is a good one. Police are on the hunt for a suspect that slammed into a house and caused $35,000 in damage over the weekend. This is in Idaho Falls. SUV just went crashing into a house. Actually, I heard another story of a vehicle, and in all fairness, I'm not sure if it was an SUV. It crashed into somebody's house. And when it finished crashing into the house, apparently it uncovered the fact that this person was what is known as an animal hoarder. Basically, she was collecting cats and dogs and had about 50 of them. And you know the story where people do that and the whole house smells like feces and the animals are living in horrible conditions. But it never would have been discovered had this person not fallen asleep at the wheel and driven his vehicle right into her home and opened it up for all the world to see. And, you know, I just got to wonder, is this going to be a considered tactic for finding out what people are up to? Well, we can't get a camera in there if phone taps aren't working. Let's plow an SUV into the side of the house and see what we can learn. Who knows? And again, I don't know if it was an SUV. It could have been a Volkswagen for all I know, but it probably wasn't. Okay, and the last real story. Driver Lisa Kaufman has been booked on charges of DUI liquor, failure to maintain a travel lane, no proof of insurance, and failure to surrender registration. She has no prior criminal record, but now she's got a lot of things. She smashed through a neighborhood. That's what the headline reads. Woman smashes through West Side neighborhood with SUV. She smashed through the neighborhood, didn't cause any injuries, but extensive damage. She crashed her Ford Expedition into several vehicles and at least two homes. How did she crash it into two homes? Did she drive through one home and continue on to the next? Or did she just bash into one, back up, and do the same thing to the neighbor? Anyway, when her vehicle stopped, she tried to run, which is always the intelligent thing to do. But residents held her until police arrived. Then they tased her. Southwest Gas had to shut off a gas line at one home for repairs. She also hit a cable box, knocking out cable in the neighborhood, and that was the real tragedy, because people were not able to watch Monday Night Football. Where was that? Las Vegas. I was in Las Vegas. Okay, I said that was the last real story. There's another story that several people actually alerted us to, because we're getting all kinds of reports of SUVs in the news. Unfortunately, we can't use most of the submissions people send us, because, like I said, there are rules. We have to read stories that have just happened in the last couple of days, and it has to be prepared no more than an hour before the show to indicate how many SUVs are actually in the news. But this was too good to pass up, because it doesn't really have to do with an SUV doing something bad, but something incredibly bad happening to an SUV. It was Mother's Day 2004. Yes, it's that long ago. I guess the lawsuit has finally gotten around to being heard. It was idyllic and beautiful, a bonding experience. Maybe Robert Stokes and his family of Greytown, Ohio, were holding hands. Maybe they were singing. Whatever they were doing, they weren't expecting what happened next. Simply put, they got hit with a blast of raw sewage while driving behind a Greyhound bus. And now? Now, they're about to relive the whole ordeal in court because they've sued the bus line for damages to their car. I would sue them for damages to my whole life. My God. Can you imagine that? The 911 call from 2 years ago says it all. During the call, Angela Stokes tells the operator, "We're driving down the expressway, and this Greyhound bus, all of its waste, he just evacuated his stuff all over our car." I don't know if I could express it in quite so scientific a term. The Soaks then followed the bus and managed to read its ID numbers to the 911 operator. I don't know how they're able to see through the windshield with all that. Never mind. The contents of the tank toilet, paper, feces, exploded as the family merged onto 75 North off of the Willis Parkway entrance ramp, said Robert Stokes. We took one through the windows, through the sunroof. Oh, man, a sunroof? We were all wet with it. I had to turn on the windshield wiper. You could see pieces of toilet paper going down the road. The sewage covered Robert, Angela, and their two young children. The incident was not only a driving hazard, but a health hazard. It sent the Stokes family into decontamination mode. We first went into the emergency room under the advice of our doctor, and then she ordered follow-up tests. We had to have baseline tests for AIDS, hepatitis. You don't get AIDS from having sewage dumped on you. Hepatitis, maybe hepatitis, I don't know. A whole manner of things. Lucky for the Stokes, besides their total car, their long-term health hasn't been affected by the blast of sewage. Anything could have. I suppose if there was a contaminated needle in the waste, and it just happened to get stabbed by it, I don't. As far as I know, it's still safe to have sewage dumped on top of your head. If not, an awful lot of people are going to be disappointed. Anyway, the Stokes family has sued Greyhound Lines in the Lucas County Common Pleas Court for unspecified damages. And, of course, we'll be following that story as it proceeds through the courts. All right. There are no calls on the line. I'm disappointed. I thought there'd be people calling in. So many things to talk about. 631-632-9872. We only have a few minutes left. And if you call at the last minute, we can't get to you. And that seems to happen. People always call close to the hour. They're thinking about draft legislation again. Yes. Democratic Representative Charles Rangel has brought it up yet again. And I understand why. I understand why he keeps bringing this up. If you have a draft, you're less likely to have a stupid war. Because representatives and senators are not going to want to send their own kids into the conflict. But you know what? I think their own kids are going to figure out a way to get out of it. Even if there is a draft, I think they're the ones that are always going to find a way to land on their feet in another country. And once you start a draft again, it's going to be awfully hard to stop it. Not a good idea. And it's also very bad because it makes the Democrats look like they're the ones pushing for this when it's just one guy trying to make a point. And a far better point would be, what are we going to do about this military adventure that Bush got us into? And what are we going to do about Bush? Those are the real questions here. CBS told the federal court on Monday that the government's new zero-tolerance policy for indecent broadcast is threatening to choke off free speech. That's another scary bit of news. In its opening brief with the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia, CBS contends that the commission's policy is flatly inconsistent with the bedrock principle that First Amendment freedoms requiring breathing space to survive. The case is one of two legal battles this month that will go a long way in deciding whether the government can slap broadcasters with a big fine and threaten their licenses to operate because of a slip of the tongue. The other case is in the New York circuit and involves Nicole Richie's use of the S word during the 2003 Billboard Music Awards, which aired on Fox. It's so silly, so stupid, so ridiculous. We're talking about words here again. People seem to get all upset about words, and they don't look beyond that. In this particular case, though, the words really are it's stupid. It's nonsense. We all know what the words are. Who are we protecting here exactly, and what kind of atmosphere are we creating? Okay, let's see. We have lots and lots of letters. I get a lot of letters from people listening to the show late. But I know there are people out there driving now that listen to the show because you tell me you're listening. And I know you have cell phones, and I know you don't care about breaking the law and calling while you're driving. 631-632-9872. You only have a couple of minutes left. Listener writes in to ask what the soothing music was that we were playing last week at around 6:11. And I think that was Brian Eno. I'm pretty sure that was Brian Eno that we were playing at the time. And yes, he is very soothing. The guy who yelled at you for not knowing something is probably some 14-year-old kid who thinks he is a hacker because he went to a bookstore and got one of those Steal This Book books and read it. We got a very nice letter from that person who heard his... Who heard me raking him over the coals, I guess, and was a bit contrite, so it was nice to hear from them again. Continuing with this letter, that Simpson thing was funny. The calls are coming in now. I'm going to get to this right after this letter. That Simpson thing was funny. I don't know if you got the joke or not when Muslims said Dearborn, Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan has the highest population of Muslims in the whole U.S. Actually, it was one of the audience members in the Simpsons High School that said that, or junior high school. But thanks for that letter. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on the radio.
Good evening. What's up, Eric? I just wanted to say that thing that you played on Halloween, that fake... what is that, nuclear thing, remember?
Shadow Over Long Island.
Yeah, can you still get that?
If you pledge to the station, you can, there's two ways you can pledge to the station. WUSB.FM has a little form where you can call 632-6498 and just make sure you mention that you want a copy of Shadow Over Long Island. I think that was a $50 pledge.
Oh, it's a $50 pledge.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I just wanted to, because I was listening to it and then, I didn't have time to call and pledge, so I just wanted to know if it was still available.
All right, I believe it is.
Just wanted to talk about that.
Okay, I hope it didn't scare you too much when you heard that.
No, it was pretty interesting. I was listening to it in my car that night.
Uh-huh.
And, it was pretty, I liked it. I think it was a good piece that you guys did back then. I mean, I was a little kid when you originally did it, but, you know.
We scared a lot of kids back then.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I just wanted to, and then tomorrow your other show's on BA, right? BAI?
Yeah, 7 o'clock on BAI.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure. I'm an old brain damage listener.
You know, you sound familiar. Were you the one that always would want to go on the teleconference afterwards? That's you, isn't it? You would always have these conversations with me, but always the real reason I thought that you were calling was to get on the teleconference, because
you know,
you'd always get round to
tapes,
that.
Like old cassette tapes from like 92.
Whoa! You have cassette tapes?
I used to tape the show back.
Oh
then
my God!
I was young and I used to tape the shows, and I actually have the first tape of the first teleconference that you ever did back in 92.
Now, can you lend us some of those tapes, because there are ones that we're missing, and on every show we have what's known as a tape flip, where we miss a few seconds while we flip it over, and sometimes we forget to flip the tape and we miss a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any way we could borrow those just to dub them for a few weeks. Another listener already did this and has gotten us all kinds of material, but it would be really cool.
I have some with you, and I have some with Matt. I'm a Matt Mankiewicz.
Yes, so we want to get his shows as well.
Yeah, well, I don't listen to his sports section show, but I did. I have the very first one that you ever did. I think you were doing an experiment back then, and you were experimenting, and then that's how you put us all together on the teleconference. But I was 21 when you actually did that.
Wow.
Back in 1991 or whatever it was.
Well, listen, if you could send us email, otw@2600.com.
Okay.
We'll give you a Shadow Over Long Island for nothing if you do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll call back next week and I have to get them together and
Okay.
Just wanted to let you know that back then, though, you still sound the same after all these years.
Well, you know, it's weird because listening to those shows, I think the same too, because I make a comment in my head and then I make the comment when I'm listening to the tape 15 years ago.
Well, you know what? It got out of hand after you stopped doing it. When Matt took over, it got crazy.
You know, I'm just a controlling influence. When I step out of the room, all pandemonium breaks loose.
Do you still see Matt? Do you still talk to Matt?
We pass each other. We exchange legal briefs occasionally.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know when about those tapes, but I'll definitely call back next week and I'll let you know when I get them together.
Okay, great. And failing that, email us. And thanks so much for keeping track of it.
Yeah. That was. I mean, it was a good show. I mean, it was crazy at times. You know.
Uh huh. Oh, it was. It was a lot of fun to do. And
all right,
for those of you who don't know what we're talking
call
about,
back next week, you know.
Yes. Thanks so much for calling. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we did an old show years ago called Brain Damage. You can listen to the old episodes. www.2600.com/braindamage. But as you heard, we're always looking for more. Now the calls are coming in. I knew this was going to happen, and we don't have time. We don't have time because we're out of time. So I'm sorry about that. I want to thank people for calling. I want to thank people for writing. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Next week, tie a string around your finger and call at 6:30 or something. All right. It's Thanksgiving week, and... I guess have a good time at Thanksgiving. Look around the table. Look at the faces. Look at the people there. And think about it. Think about what it's like if just one of those people isn't there, particularly the older people. Imagine all the people that the older people have influenced one way or another throughout their lives, whether they had children, whether it's just somebody they inspired. And think about what each individual life means. And think about all the individual lives that are being lost on a daily basis. We talked about forgiveness before. We talked about righting wrongs. Well, how do we right that kind of a wrong? How do we answer for all the nonsense that's been going on, for all the waste that's been happening over the past few years? It's something I really have been thinking about a lot more lately, something I'm wondering what the answer is going to be. But I guess for now, appreciate what we have, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
And the flag-draped coffins are a-sailing home, and the waves are watching as the engine draws. As the ship draws near, hear the bugle call, the sad and silent song of a soldier with a hero's greeting. We will welcome him with a hero's speeches. We will honor him with a hero's ending. We will bury him. That's the sad and silent song of a soldier. And comfort his family with a telegram. We regret to inform you we have lost a man, but we gave him the highest medal of the land. That's the sad and silent song of a soldier. We know what an awful price he had to pay, but the enemy was contained for another day. We trained him well, he would have wanted it that way. That's the sad and silent song of a soldier. Oh, the weary wounded, they wait by his side, wondering why they hadn't also died. The picture of patriotic pride. That's the sad and silent song of a soldier. And the flag is at half-mast, wet with foreign rain, ignored by the strangers he had helped to train. To him it was duty, to them again. That's the sad and silent song of a soldier. At Arlington he's lowered down without a pause, and his native land welcomes him with open jaws. And the tombstone reads, such a noble cause. That's the sad and silent song of a soldier. Now a moment of silence for the broken man, while the president proudly crows, we'll never bend, and cheers the replacements marching off again. That's the sad and silent song of a soldier. And the flag-draped coffins are a-sailing home, and the waves are watching as the engine draws. As the ship draws near, hear the bugle call, the sad and silent song of a soldier.
Driving around in my pickup truck, the only thing you can do is pick your nose and listen to WUSB in Stony Brook. That and go out with the boys and chase sheep on Friday night.
got one.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.